Blog Talk Radio.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened, and some have to be changed.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, we will be. We have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN founders.
Yes, it's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions, or on so global a scale. Nor has any previous order had to combine the attributes of the historic balance of power system with global democratic opinion and the exploding technology of the contemporary period.
After 1989, President Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period, when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity, and it is a big crisis.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind: peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future.
So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges.
And the hope that each of us has to build a new world order.
And I strongly believe India will be a central actor in the new world order.
Every time we drop, we go a little farther. Not that we the savior, just restoring order. Shit, we just trying to get across the water. I hope you with it, what up? Thanks out for all supporters. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Got flow.
You can even treat show. Raw, yeah. Dope, relax, smoke. Hey, welcome to the show. What's the
what you want. Yeah, welcome everybody to episode 128 of Authentic Enlightenment. I'm your host, Chris Perkins, and I'm joined by my co-host, Michael Wagner and Mark Cummins. What's up, guys? Can you hear me all right on the cell phone tonight?
Yeah. Does sound like you're talking from a phone, though.
What's that?
Oh, it does sound like you're talking from a phone, that's for sure.
Well, it should. I'm talking from a phone.
That sounds good.
And turn this fan off, though. It might sound a little better. I forgot about the fan. Is that any better? Can you like not hear that loud ass?
Yeah, I didn't hear it before, so.
I have like a high-powered fan. It's a high-powered fan. It's one of those. Well, it's like an you know those big industrial fans, and they're.
Oh yeah, sure. One of those. Square
one. No, well, it's a big round one. It's probably, I mean, it's not huge. It's like probably, I don't know, a little over 2 feet tall, wide. But it's high power, dude. I just have to put it on low. I can't put it on high because it'll blow the covers like off my bed and shit.
It's chilly for a fan.
Oh no, really? Dude, it's hot here. I mean, it's definitely, I'm saying that, I'm unzipping my hoodie and about to take it off thinking, why do I have a hoodie on? No, this upstairs, it gets a little hot up here.
Oh, sure, right.
I had the AC on earlier, but I've been trying to cut back on that. It's been cold at night, though.
Yeah, it's been nice.
Hopefully there's no frost anytime soon. I heard that there might be a frost. There might be one up in northern Maine tomorrow, I think.
Somebody at work said something about it, too. It's coming.
Summer went by too quick.
The whole year has gone by quick.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
Well, here we are in September. Tomorrow through the 28th is when something's about to go down, apparently, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to talk about that, too. The end of the world,
I mean,
man.
Usually,
I mean,
when
like
people talk about, when people talk about the end, like, nothing really happens. It's just another day.
You think this time's different? Is this the one?
No, I think it's, you know, really, I didn't see the Federal Reserve raise interest rates, so I think they bought us a little bit more time.
Well, what exactly, I mean, I've heard so many different things now. Like, I did hear, didn't something come out of, like, Ron Paul's camp or something about the Reserve or something? But I've also heard, like, meteorites are going to hit and, you know, the second resurrection's coming. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Blood moon. Don't forget about the blood moon.
I think that might have some significance.
Fourth,
I don't know.
Fourth blood moon.
Yeah.
There is a lot of correlation between the moons and the violence, the blood.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
You don't. I don't know. But I don't believe, like, people have it pinned down to the 23rd, like you
I don't know.
The 28th or something. I don't know. Maybe.
I've been hearing the 28th.
Yeah.
I've been hearing the 23rd on some crazy theories.
I've heard that date thrown around. I don't know.
Maybe it's just propaganda.
Oh, Shafir.
Well, a lot
of
it's just websites like saying like something's gonna hit the earth, you know, so they can get like a bunch of shares and views, so they can get ad revenue. It's a whole new racket. Just make up a bunch of news or rip
off other people's articles, Chris.
or take someone else's article and put it on your website and don't give them credit for it. And link it to, like, the article that reposted it instead of the original. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, you said Rand Paul earlier, Mark. I heard Scott Walker, he suspended his campaign, and he endorsed Rand Paul.
Yes, right. He ended his, and right, now he's endorsing Rand Paul.
I heard that this morning, and the reason why I heard that this morning is because I think it was, must have been, no, it wasn't Glenn Beck this morning, because, you know, Glenn Beck comes on, like, on that radio station I listen to Coast to Coast at night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the proper internet, so I haven't been able to stream anything, which sucks, so I have to use the radio station. And anyway, so at 9 o'clock, that's usually when Glenn Beck comes on. I usually turn it off then. I was listening to him yesterday just for the hell of it. It was on. I was drinking the coffee, barely awake. I think it was this morning. It was the show before. I was talking I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter because I kind of lost track of the whole point of what I was going to say after all that explaining.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Well, I was saying that, and I was looking for this bottle of Rolaid, so I was, like, kind of, I'm not good at multitasking, and I usually forget, like, when I'm in mid-sentence or, like, even when I'm driving. If I'm driving and talking to the person that's with me, I'll, like, drive by places, I'll drive the wrong way. I don't know, it's just how I am, but, yeah, if I do something else while I'm talking, like, just what happened, I'll completely forget about what I was talking about. I need more Rolaids, man. I don't know what's going on. My stomach's burning. It's like heartburn in my stomach. It's like crazy painful.
What'd you eat, man?
I don't know. I don't think it has to do with what I eat. I just had like beef stew tonight, but I don't think that's what did it.
No, you
drank
think
like
so.
I had a glass of IPA like right before I ate. And then I ate, and then that's what happened. I don't know.
I beer did it.
I mean, I just had one glass, like, with my dinner. It wasn't even with my dinner. I drank the whole thing before I even started eating, but.
I don't know. You wouldn't think so, but, you know, an IPA would be the one that would do it, I would think. I don't know.
It's never done it before, but I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I don't know, man.
Blaine making me thirsty here. I need some water.
I always have one.
But anyway, nothing about my burning stomach.
God, yeah.
It's bad. It actually makes it hard to, like, talk and think. Because all I can think about is, like, my stomach. Like,
right.
Someone dumped acid in it. And it's, like, burning it up. And melting away my insides.
Yeah, that's never a pleasant feeling. I'm sure you guys can hear this.
If anybody has some good natural remedies to help me, I'll call in.
Honey. Honey's always good.
Yeah.
Michael, what are you doing?
Dumping ice. I gotta mute myself so I can crunch on these Rolaids. Hold on. Go ahead and talk.
He's crunching on Rolaids. I'm getting a drink. I didn't mute myself though. I just said the hell with it. I'm going for it. You know, going for it. So I know where we were. The end of the world. I wonder, you know, if that happened while we were on air or something. That'd
be
a way to go.
Cool.
Sure. That'd be the way to go.
I remember the point. I mean, I'm got a mouthful of Rolaids, but I remember my point now.
Yeah, I was wondering if that might have had something there. What do you got? Okay.
You guys are talking about Scott Walker, right?
Oh, yes.
No, I was listening on the radio, and I was like, yeah, I heard that this morning. He dropped out and said something like, we need a better front runner than the front runner we have right now.
Dude, he's pissed off at Trump. Yeah.
South Park is doing an episode on Donald Trump tomorrow night.
I think I'm just going to watch South Park this year. I mean,
the last one was pretty good, man. Tom Brady, Caitlyn Jenner. That's pretty good.
I bet. Like, seriously though, I think this year I'm gonna watch it. I always used to watch South Park years ago.
Should, man. It's awesome. I don't know how you can't watch it already.
Well, you know, I don't have TV,
it's routine. Like, the episode's on every single. I just don't have a routine in life, I guess.
You don't have what, a routine?
Yeah. You know,
really?
Oh, me and my favorite TV show every week.
Yeah, I don't have a favorite TV show every week or anything like that, no.
Oh, I don't have a favorite TV show every week.
I have routine, but not around the TV.
I have a favorite TV show, but it's like only like fucking 12
Chris watches
episodes
a lot of TV
a year.
I don't watch any TV. I watch my shit on the internet.
Right.
I can only I've seen all the documentaries and shit. I'm out of books. You know, I read.
There's nothing wrong with watching TV. Don't get me wrong.
Of course there isn't. There isn't.
Oh,
no. There definitely isn't. Well, I mean, there is if you like sit in front of the TV all day and you're watching mindless
shit. You indulge
shit
in it, yeah.
That's
but
different.
At least I watch like good stuff, man. I mean, everybody likes Game of Thrones, dude. That's just the most badass show there is, man.
I still need to watch that.
Yep, still, I'm with you, Michael.
Yeah.
Still haven't seen
it. I'm a procrastinator, I know.
Me too.
You have to watch it. Well, yeah, but once you start watching it, dude, you're going to be like, oh, no, you're
I know that'll happen
anymore.
I find that online. I you know,
oh,
let me write
that. Oh, yeah,
down,
man. I can send you a link, man.
Okay.
I've been rewatching and up until my internet crap to bed. I've been rewatching the series. I'm on season 2 again, you know, going through it and checking to see what I missed or what I didn't catch, see if I can find more clues, you know, because obviously if you rewatch it, you start to be like, oh, I see what they did there, you know.
Sure.
You know, you don't catch that shit. And, like, of course, you know, all the times I was watching it, I was probably pretty stoned, so.
Yes.
I usually forget shows. That's what happens to me, like, on Sunday nights. Sunday nights is really the only night that I watch TV. And that's because that's, like, there's, like, a bunch of good shows.
Yeah, well, you got football, too, which, I mean,
now
you know.
That's football, yeah. I usually just watch the Bills game. I don't used to watch all the football games, but the only reason why I watched all the football games this Sunday is because I didn't have internet. So I'm like, oh, I guess I had nothing to do. You know, my son had left. I was like, all right, well, there's a Sunday night
football
game. I guess I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Fear the Walking Dead. That's a good show. The Walking Dead starts next month. So that's cool. So, yeah, man. Plenty of good TV, people. Go ahead and watch it. It's cool. Don't let those Debbie Downers give you shit for watching TV and telling you it's a distraction. Yeah, it's only a distraction
sheep
if you make it a distraction.
Nah. Sheep.
Yeah.
Anybody that watches TV is a sheep.
You watch football, bread, and circuses. Shut up.
Sheep.
Jesus. How long have I been doing this for? Like,
No balance.
Yeah, it's like, come on. If you can't balance shit out, that's your own fault. You're the moron, not me.
That's so true. Yep. Bah.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I got some stories here, but I was going to bring them up when we get Mike on here in about 10, 15 minutes.
What did you get? What do you guys think about the David Cameron thing?
I have no idea. I don't even know what's going on.
The guy's a pig humper, man.
What's this about?
He put it into Google. He like screwed a dead pig, man, at like some crazy like, I don't know. I didn't even read the whole story.
What?
Was
it some crazy ass Illuminati
like
party?
Yeah, like some crazy, exactly. Freemason stuff, yeah. I didn't even read the whole story, but that's what I gathered out of it, yeah. And so he humped a dead pig, yeah.
Oh, I see, okay. InfoWars has it on the top of the page.
Oh, sure.
The
I don't know, that's not even where I that's not even where I read it, but I'm sure
uh-oh
they picked up on it.
Weird, the Daily Express.
Well, my internet's working really slow. Sorry about that. What?
I was just saying, man, I'm having issues over here, too. This is 4G.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's running slow.
Maybe it's a, I don't know. I have no idea.
Hmm. Oh, here we go.
But, yeah, what's it say, Michael? Why, oh, look, you put David in. That's the first thing that comes up.
Oh, yeah. Even The Guardian said something about it. That's crazy.
All right, yeah, we'll just... Okay, I can't find where I was looking. Like, usually it has, like, your previous searches. Like, I don't know where it was. We'll look at the InfoWars one. David Cameron performed depraved sex acts with a dead pig as part of a college in intuition ritual, according to a book written by one of his Oxford peers. So, yeah, like, it was a college, like... weird shit going on. I don't know. We don't even need to get
at
into
Oxford,
this.
Huh?
That's just,
you know,
wrong.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
No surprise.
Like, I know they do have, like, intuitions, or what would you call them? Like
initiations.
Yeah, initiations. That's right. And, yeah, who knows how extreme they go? You never know.
Oh, buddy, I mean, I'm pretty convinced, like, certain of them, like, probably sacrifice babies and et cetera, you know, depending on the club or whatever you call it, you know.
I guess so. And the drinking.
the drinking and cocaine use,
shit.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that, you know, I don't know. I know, like, Skull and Bones, that like Chris had mentioned, and other of these groups, I get an idea. They can do some pretty nasty stuff, man. Like, the ritualistic stuff is pretty crazy. What's the women's, like, masons? What are they called? Like, they get into, like, some pretty crazy ritualistic
stuff. I don't know.
Stuff, man.
I was reading something about... It was, I only remembered it. No, I didn't read about it. It was a while ago. Something reminded me of it. It was something you posted, and it reminded me of it. You posted, it was just something random. It was like a women's,
mm-hmm.
It was that. So it made me think about some article I had read, or something I had read about, something similar that women, higher up than that.
It's like the order of the five stars, a three-star order of something. It's the women's masons, yeah. I've read some stuff about them, too. I'm half right on what I'm calling them. The order of something. Something stars. Third star or whatever. Whatever it is.
Women Freemasons, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have, like, their own, like, I don't know, sect or whatever. And, they, yeah, back to the point, is like, they get very ritualistic about... Like, probably more than the men, I guess.
Now,
what I've read, of course. I don't know. I've never been there.
I guess I'd like to understand some of the philosophy behind their rituals, you know? Like, what kind of religion does it come from? Or is it just not even part of a religion? It's just, you know, something, shit they made up.
I don't know. I've always wondered whether it's just blatant Satanism. Like, if they just truly worship Satan. I think a lot of them do. My own theory. You know, and that's all it is. I don't really know. Again, I've never been there. I don't know, man.
It's bugging me. You're talking about this stuff. I just watched something. And I don't remember what it was. I did just watch it. I don't know if this had it on it. But I watched a documentary that you guys and anyone listening should check out. It's called JFK to 9/11.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think I might have mentioned it on the show the other night. I think I might have told you guys about it, too, already. It's like three and a half hours. It was good. It was really, really good though.
That's a good documentary.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good documentary. I watched it because, I've seen so many documentaries, so every time I see one, it's like I'm seeing the same stuff. It's just regurgitated stuff in a new documentary. And this had stuff that I knew about, but there was some... It was good. It kept my attention for the whole 3.5 hours. I didn't stop it. I mean, I paused it maybe to go grab a snack or whatever, but
right,
that's about
right.
It. So yeah, it was definitely good.
You watched that one right around the same time I watched like that 5-hour one about Hitler. Yeah, that's the thing about, like, YouTube. Like, you can run into just so much junk that it gets, like, you don't even want to watch a YouTube video. like somebody will recommend something or say, like, you gotta watch this video, and you're like, no, I don't. I really just don't have to watch it because I've seen so much crap. Like, you start like 10 minutes into it, and you're like, oh my god, what am I watching? Next thing you know, you believe the Earth is flat and Hitler was a good guy. You know, really, it's unbelievable. Some of the stuff that's out there is just mind-blowing.
Sit through 8 hours of a documentary that just, like, makes Hitler out to be, like, a saint. He can play this, like, heroic music and shit. And it's just, like I, you know, like, I'm digging the whole, you know, like, I know that they, like, made Hitler out to be, like, way worse than he was and everything, and you know, and like but I like the point that this made on Hitler and everything with that whole, with, you know, like how, like, you know, he was mostly used as a pawn. I think this might not have been in that documentary. I don't know. I might be thinking of something I read
of the JFK
9/11
one. It wasn't, no. But,
It talks about George Bush, George Bush Sr., Prescott Bush, the Hitler connection, and all that stuff. And, like, I think even, like, Project Paperclip and all that stuff with the Nazis moving over here. Yeah, oh, yeah, it covers all of that. It's not just JFK. It doesn't really talk much about 9/11. It's JFK to 9/11.
Right.
You know, leading
right,
up.
Right.
So it does do a whole lot on 9/11.
Right.
But it's all about, you know, like, JFK. It breaks the whole JFK thing down, and it's really good. It really was good. It's worth a watch. I definitely recommend it. Oh, hold on. I got to give Michael the show number. All
right. No, yeah, we're sneaking right up on 9:30, aren't we?
Yeah, we do. We got to go to break. I'll let him know.
All right.
There. Talking. I like talking on Skype better than friggin' Facebook. Because I don't have so many people on Skype. Yeah, we got certain people. Alright. We have to take a quick break before we come back with our guest, Michael Rivero. So everybody stick around, and we will be back after the break.
Do you find yourself longing for the apocalypse? I did. I was looking for a reason to live. Hi. Are you feeling tired, irritable, stressed out? Well, you might consider nature.
From the people that brought you Getting Outside comes prescription-strength Nature, a non-harmful medication shown to relieve the crippling symptoms of modern life.
Nature's recommended for humans of all ages, and it's great for pets, too.
Nature can reduce cynicism, meaninglessness, anal retentiveness, and murderous rage. In clinical studies, Nature is proven to decrease work-induced catatonia.
Caution. Nature may cause you to slow down, quit your job, or seriously consider what the f*** you're doing with your life.
If you are overly cynical, jaded, or emotionally numb, you may need to increase your dose of Nature. Do you have trouble being even mildly uncomfortable? Nature may not be right for you. Side effects may include spontaneous euphoria, taking yourself less seriously, and being in a good mood for no apparent reason.
So ask your doctor if Nature is right for you.
Producers of 9-1-1, The Levon Affair, and USS Liberty comes False Flag. Never know such fear. Anthrax, blackout, BX, fire, death, sarin gas, nukes, zombies, and even lethal wedgies. It's all here in 3D and 7.1 surround sound. CIA and Mossad, in association with Wag the Dog Productions, present False Flag. A production by an unknown director. He prefers it that way. Screenplay by John Kerry and John McCain, from a story suggested by Benjamin Netanyahu, with additional material about chemical weapons by Barry Obama. Starring as the evil mastermind and featuring and as the evil Muslims. Music by whoever we stole it from. Choreography by the 9/11 dancing Israelis. Visual effects by some government moron who thinks he's as good as the blacklisted guy from Hawaii. This film has been classified as "You Will Watch This" by the Department of Homeland Security, coming soon to a theater near you. Also at schools, shopping malls, sports arenas, tall buildings, poor neighborhoods, airports, heavy GOP districts, bus stations, porta potties, Detroit, and any other place we can think of. False Flag. Coming soon.
Secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are as a people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its means to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. On infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day.
We're very well aware that we are not yet through this economic crisis, but I mean, we have the chief of staff for President Obama, who is an old friend of mine, and my husband was in the White House when Bill was there, and he said, you know, never waste a good crisis. And when it comes to the economic crisis, don't waste it when it can have a very positive impact on climate change and energy security, and that's what we're trying to do.
Every time we drop, we go a little farther. Not that we the savior, just restoring order. Shit, we just trying to get across the water. I hope you with it, what up? Thanks out to all supporters.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Got flow.
You can even treat show. Raw, yeah, don't relax, smoke. Hey, welcome to the show with the what you want.
Yeah, welcome back to Authentic Enlightenment, episode 127. I am your host, Chris Perkins, calling in from a cell phone tonight. As you all know, internet issues, but it is what it is. Also joined by my co-hosts, Michael Wagner and Mark Cummings, and also joined by our guest, Mike Rivero. How's it going, Mike?
Aloha, it's going well.
Did you get to catch the false flag trailer we played?
Yes, I did. I was flattered and honored and delighted.
I figured you'd like that. Did you make another one? I was on YouTube just a couple minutes ago, checking something out, and I put in false flag trailer. I think I saw another one, maybe. You have another one coming
out? Well,
out?
I didn't make this one. This was made by the gentleman who does the voiceover. He's a voiceover actor in South Africa. I'm blanking on his name, unfortunately. I originally put the concept out there as a couple of movie posters. And then this guy made two versions of the trailer. And if there's a new one out there, I mean, it's obviously an idea that needs to be popularized. Because the way you keep a false flag from working is for the public to understand that governments do use false flags to trick us into actions we otherwise would not agree to.
Yes, absolutely. And, this is, I think, the second time we played it on the show. I love it. I think it's awesome. I noticed, like, you listen on the radio, you don't get the whole full effect, though. You don't get the visuals and everything. So, but I think people get the idea.
Yes.
All right, so Chris, Mark and Mike, Michael, I know you have a couple questions you want to shoot off here real quick, so I'll let you guys go first.
Actually, I was going to ask you, Chris, before, did you send Michael the clip of you asking Rand Paul about Israel?
No, I haven't, actually. Yes, Michael, I got to meet Rand Paul a couple weeks ago, and... We went and saw him, and he was up, you know, talking, doing his normal, you know, his sound bites and everything, and his little speech, and he started talking about how, you know, we've been funding like ISIS and all that, and he was, you know, naming off all this other stuff, but he never once said anything about Israel. So I yelled out, you know, like, what about Israel? What about funding Israel? And of course, everyone just looked at me like, "What is he doing?" And Rand obviously heard it, and we got it all on camera. And then when I actually got to go meet him, I tried doing it again, and he was like answering everybody else's questions, but he would not have anything to do with me just because of my question.
I'm sorry if I missed that video, because it sounds like it would be a winner. I'd love to see it.
I'm gonna have to send you that video.
it was good.
Okay.
Yeah. He blew him off completely.
Well, you know, Rand is definitely not his father's son, unfortunately. I suspect that Rand Paul is dealing with some daddy issues. He's desperate to outdo his daddy, and he's willing to make whatever moral, ethical compromises are necessary to accomplish that. And that's a bad state of mind for anybody aiming for high office.
Yeah, you're 100% right about that. In which he's proved that over and over and over again. But, he's not his dad. He's tanking anyway, though.
Yeah, true enough.
So, yeah.
So have you been keeping up with the activities in Syria? I've been hearing a lot of Russia activity there?
Well, Russia has played this beautifully because the U.S. created this propaganda hoax that we were not really making war on the Syrian people and the Syrian country, and we weren't really after Assad, even though the U.S. has been trying to get rid of him for 4 years now. The U.S. was justifying the bombing of Syrian infrastructure by saying we're after the terrorists, we're after ISIS and al-Qaeda. And, of course, it has now come out that the U.S. has, in fact, been funding and training ISIS and al-Qaeda. The top ISIS commander was trained in the United States of America. We've got documentation that he was still being funded and equipped as late as 2013. So what Putin did, the chess player that he is, he said, tell you what, we're going to come into Syria and we're going to help you get ISIS and al-Qaeda. And the U.S. is on the spot because they very well can't stand up and announce, look, ISIS and al-Qaeda are working for us. It's really a dodge to get rid of Assad, so butt out. And apparently the strategists over in Washington, D.C., really had convinced themselves that Putin was not going to come into Syria. But he has. He's put in a very capable military presence there, which once he uncorks it on ISIS and al-Qaeda, they're not going to be there much longer. And the U.S. Plan in Syria is just in absolute fragments right now, and there's not a thing they can do about it. They're trapped by their own propaganda. So the U.S. is now back to saying, yeah, we're really trying to get rid of Assad. France is saying we have a right to bomb Syria because we've got intelligence. Syria is planning terror attacks on France. Like, Assad doesn't really have enough to keep him occupied already as it is. But they are thrashing around trying to regain the initiative against Assad, and Putin has just pulled the rug out from underneath their al-Qaeda and ISIS propaganda. And once again, Putin is showing himself to be a statesman. He's basically trying to keep this world war from really exploding, and he's being very clever about it. And it really shows the problem with the U.S. government, which is filled with all these costumed actors put up there for us to elect every 4 years or 6 years or 2 years, that are put up there by the money junkies, and they're really good salesmen, and they're very convincing liars. But when it comes to actual strategy, there's a lot of wishful thinking going on in formulating our foreign policy, and they're not listening to their own experts, because we had this scandal that came out about a week and a half ago where 50 top intelligence analysts in the U.S. Army went public saying that their reports on the reality of what's going on in Syria were being rewritten to make them look better to, first of all, the public, and second of all, to the political leadership. And that is a very troubling situation when you have the people at the top of the government are not getting accurate information, don't want to see the accurate information, and all of their staff around them are trying to keep their very plush government jobs by telling the boss what they think the boss wants to hear rather than what the boss needs to know. And we actually saw a lot of the same thing in the closing days of World War II, where Germany's high command were just fabricating stories to keep Hitler happy, and as a result, Hitler was fighting battles with divisions that didn't really exist, and it only hastened the end of the of Nazi Germany.
Hmm. A little bit of a similarity, huh?
Yes, unfortunately.
So it's really is that simple, though. Is that, I mean, we're kind of funding ISIS, and Putin's kind of
he's turned our propaganda back on ourselves. And, you know, everybody knows that the U.S. set up ISIS and al-Qaeda. Everybody knows the U.S. is going in and bombing everything in Syria except ISIS and al-Qaeda. Even Donald Trump, who, as much as I like him, he's very dangerously politically naive about what's really going on inside Washington, D.C. He actually came out and said, it's like we're protecting ISIS and al-Qaeda. Yes, Don, that is exactly what the U.S. government is doing.
Why? Well, do you think Donald Trump has any chance of becoming president?
I think he's got a very good chance. I think one of the biggest mistakes he made was signing that pledge not to run as an independent, because that was the only hammer he had to keep the GOP behaving. And now that he's signed that pledge, they are trying to gang up on him. He has lost a few percentage points, but he's still leading the pack way out front. I think they're trying to give him the Ron Paul treatment, like they did to Ron Paul in 2008, 2012. If that doesn't work, I think they may try the Robert Kennedy approach, and I just hope Trump is wearing his Kevlar three-piece suit.
I was almost going to ask you that direct question. Will the establishment let him in? Would they let him if he really is naive, as you put it, or maybe he's an idiot. I don't know.
No, he's not an idiot. He's a businessman, and because he's been very successful in the world of business, he's used to dealing with people who are constrained to keep their commitments, the counterparty trust on which business cannot, function without. And I think in many ways he is as naive about the inner workings of the U.S. government as Jimmy Carter was. As far as not letting him into the White House, I think a good example of how extreme that could get is over in Great Britain, where another outsider, not seen as part of the establishment, Jeremy Corbyn, just was voted into the leadership position of the Labour Party. He's now poised to run for Prime Minister, and we have this top British general being quoted by the Rupert Murdoch newspaper saying that if Corbyn is elected Prime Minister, there'll be a military coup to keep him out of number 10. And we're already seeing in the poll numbers here in the United States of America, the outsiders are doing very well. This is definitely the year of the Mavericks. The people who are not seen as part of the ongoing permanent political machine are getting all the support. The insiders, the career politicians, they're thrashing just to stay in the race. Everybody thought this was going to be Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, and right. Both Bush and Clinton are in serious, serious trouble right now.
Do you think so? Like, I wonder sometimes if it's just all staged. Like, you'll see at the end of this all being exactly that, Bush and a Clinton. They'll Ron Paul both of Trump and Sanders, and I'm not a Sanders supporter. I don't support either of them. I don't support any of them.
Well, no doubt they're trying to get their candidates up there, but at this point we're already seeing the big-ticket donors start to pull back from both Bush and Clinton. We're hearing a lot of talk about trying to lure Biden in on the Democratic side. We've got some of the big-money people who are already saying they're ready to stop funding Clinton and fund Biden if he'll step in. The problem with everybody pushing Bush and Clinton right now is neither one of them look like a sure winner. And as much as the machine is going to support the favored candidate, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is just absolutely trying to engineer all the Democratic debates to favor Hillary Clinton, but she's looking at being ousted from her position by the party rank and file. And they're going to want somebody who can actually win the White House and keep control of Congress. And at this point, Hillary is carrying more baggage than Kim Kardashian on a photo shoot. As much as they're trying to pretend that the email scandal is going away, it isn't. And potentially it could be much worse, because the more I study that whole situation with all the foreign donations coming into the Clinton Foundation, a lot of them from concealed sources through that Swiss subsidiary to try and hide who was sending in the money, I'm looking at that and the combination with this privately owned email server with worse security than Ashley Madison, on which were parked not only top U.S. secrets, but top United Nations secrets. And it looks to me like the perfect setup for a spy operation. And you need to remember, back in 1996, there was a big scandal with the Clintons called Chinagate, where Bill Clinton, as president, used his authority to authorize the sale of very sensitive military technology to China, technology that up until that point, China was not allowed to acquire. And Bill Clinton signed the documents to say, yes, go ahead and sell. And his reelection campaign started getting donations, obviously from the companies that were making money selling this stuff to China. And all these donations from American citizens of Chinese descent, and ultimately it came out the money was actually originating with Asian sources, including Chinese intelligence. So we have a prior history of the Clintons treating U.S. secrets as if it's their own personal property to sell in exchange for campaign donations. And this email server and the Clinton Foundation, to me, there is an important question that has to be asked. Was Hillary putting these secrets on her weak email server and letting foreign governments copy them off in exchange for generous donations to her charitable foundation? And I think there is something there, because all of a sudden we're seeing the FBI and the Department of Justice just absolutely stonewall any more investigation. A month ago, the FBI said, we're stepping in, we've got the server, we're investigating. Today, they're refusing to cooperate with the court system. They're acting like they're above the law, and they're saying, we will neither confirm nor deny there's an investigation in progress. And there are, in Washington, D.C., two kinds of political secrets. There are the little secrets that you use to get your opposition destroyed. Then there are the great secrets, which if they come out, could destroy the credibility of the entire government, like the truth behind John F. Kennedy's assassination, truth behind Robert Kennedy's assassination, the real truth behind Watergate, the truth behind 9/11. And if, in fact, Hillary was selling U.S. and U.N. secrets through that email server and foundation, that is a scandal that could bring down the entire U.S. government, and even Hillary's worst enemies are going to be trying to keep the lid on that one.
Mm-hmm. So you say in your research, you must be following the money. What do you think? I mean,
there is no question that money was flowing into the foundation in order to buy influence with Secretary of State Clinton. In fact, Larry Klayman had filed a RICO lawsuit against the Clinton Foundation because of the very obvious link-up between foreign governments donating to the Clinton Foundation and Hillary's State Department all of a sudden granting them favorable treatment, access to weapons they were previously not supposed to be having. And unfortunately, the RICO lawsuit got thrown out of court by the judge, who was a Clinton appointee, but refused to recuse himself over what is very clearly a conflict of interest. And I'm hoping Larry Klayman is going to come back with another lawsuit. But we have this track record of secrets for sale for campaign cash. We have this track record of Hillary Clinton giving very favorable treatment to foreign donors to her foundation. And the fact that this email server was set up completely outside government monitoring and control, with very weak security, at least one known, totally open subdomain on it. And we know that U.S. classified information was on there, United Nations classified information was on there, and coupled with that charitable foundation that's able to legally accept money from foreign sources, it's a perfect espionage setup. She doesn't have to personally steal the files the way Jonathan Pollard did. She doesn't have to go around marking X's on mailboxes like Aldrich Ames did. She doesn't have to tape plastic-wrapped bundles of documents under a bridge like Robert Hansen did. It's absolutely a perfect system for a Secretary of State of the United States to, in fact, have been a spy.
Well, that's not good for her. You don't think it'll get brushed under the rug?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
You don't think it'll get brushed under the rug like Benghazi?
Oh, I'm sure it will. She's been doing
messed up stuff since the 70s, probably before.
I'm sure they're going to try and sweep it under the rug. But at this point, if I just put the question out there, people are going to start asking, and I'm already seeing other articles pop up all around the web saying, yeah, there's a real concern here. You know, given the Clintons' past behavior in 1996, somebody has to look at this thing. And remember, Hillary is treating the whole email scandal as if she's a lawyer. What is legally provable? What is the legal exposure? Can she go to jail? Should she make a deal? And by the way, she's already being advised by her associates to try and make some kind of a deal with Judicial Watch and the Department of Justice to try and make this all go away. But we're talking about an election year, and politics is perception. And the growing perception among the American people is that Hillary Clinton cannot be trusted, should never be trusted. Her campaign has even gone so far as to issue a statement saying, trust really isn't important in an election as much as Hillary's getting her message out. So they already know they're in trouble.
And I think half of the voting population at least would not even care.
I would disagree. I think a lot of people, even if they're not following what's going on very closely, they sense the country has gone down a wrong path. And I think there's a decided anti-incumbent fever sweeping the United States. They want the old established guard out. They want some new people in. And even if the new people are going to turn out to be just as crooked, at least there'll be a change. There'll be something that's a little bit different. And
well, that's the problem, but
you know, one thing we're seeing, especially in the wake of Israel's over-the-top attempt to prove they are still in charge of the U.S. Congress and still able to kill the Iran deal, is that they've made it so obvious that Israel is exercising undue influence over our Congress and our government. I mean, it's even reached the point where Ann Coulter came out with that tweet following the second GOP debate where she said, all these people are up there falling all over themselves about how much they love Israel. You know, what's wrong with these people? And she's absolutely right. She's being attacked. She's being called an anti-Semite and a Jew hater. But it's absolutely true. We need to get rid of all these candidates who are screaming about what great friends of Israel they are, and we need to find some candidates who are great friends of America, because we need leaders who are going to put America first, not some foreign country.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I don't see a one of them that agrees with you.
Well, there's differing degrees of agreement. I mean, there are some that are really passionate about Israel and others that are just going through the motions and the lip service because they realize it's expected of them. But I've noticed that the Israeli media is on the attack against Donald Trump as well. And Donald Trump has said, you know, he's a friend of Israel and blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't come across as really being fanatical about it. He seems very fanatical about the U.S. and the U.S. economy. And that,
right.
I think, to a lot of people is going to be a plus sign.
It could
yeah.
be. We're going to find out. You just brought up the Iran deal. Didn't Ukraine and NATO?
NATO, ooh.
Signed it. Was that today? There was a deal signed today? I didn't really look
yeah.
into it too much.
Yeah, basically, Ukraine is not formally a member of NATO, but they're trying to come up with this little agreement where if Russia intervenes in Ukraine, NATO will say, aha, we have the right to move against Russia. NATO's problem is, though, that as they go on rattling the sabers toward Russia, their support in other European countries is beginning to collapse, because you need to understand, in the United States of America, the last time we had combat on our soil was back in the 1860s with the Civil War. War is an abstraction for most people. The idea of war in front of your own home is an abstraction. It's something you see in movies and TV shows. But Europe has gone through two world wars on their own soil. The refugee crisis is already hammering home the fact that there's already damage from war that is affecting their countries and their economy, to the point where they're having to shut their borders. The whole open border system of the European Union is falling apart. And they don't want a new world war between the United States and Russia, because they understand, once again, it'll be fought on their ground, in front of their front door, in their homes, in their businesses, in their cities, and they don't want that. And NATO is finding more and more that support among the civilian population of Europe is very much beginning to fade. Now, all the European governments are on board with this new world war, and they're out there saying, yes, we've got to do this, we've got to. But the people are just sort of uniformly pulling back and saying, no, this isn't it. There was a big protest up in Germany where they were shouting, send Merkel to Siberia and bring Putin to Berlin. So, the general public opinion is turning away from this rush to war.
I don't think
good.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry,
okay.
I was reading. I got some messages coming in. I was reading to see if anybody had any questions. All right. Give me a minute. All right. Yeah, and there was another thing that I think I might have even seen one of the articles on your website about, we got Northern Ireland banned at GMO crops. And then also I read Russia banned GMO use in food production.
They're banning all GMO.
Awesome.
Oh, they really are.
Yep. So it can be done.
Well, you know, again, a big part of it is Monsanto was attempting to do to the rest of the world with GMO what our Federal Reserve had done with the dollar, make everybody dependent on the United States. Following World War II and the Bretton Woods Agreement, the whole world was dependent on using the U.S. dollar for global trade and banking. That is beginning to wane, and I think Monsanto's larger plan was to get everybody using GMO, because once you're on GMO, you can't go back to the natural organic varieties without drastic steps like letting your farm sit idle for three whole years. And the idea being that there would be no more heritage crops. You wouldn't plant this year's crops from the seeds left over from last year. Every year you'd have to buy new seeds from Monsanto. And it is being seen as an instrument of U.S. imperialism, coupled with the fact that now we're finding out glyphosate, the ingredient in Roundup, is a recognized carcinogen. It may, in fact, be the cause of what is now being misdiagnosed as gluten sensitivity. It's causing all kinds of damage to kidney and livers. Plus, the GMO crops are not achieving their stated goals. The pests in the gardens are evolving to be tolerant of the pesticides produced by the GMO. There's all kinds of problems to where the farmers are having to go back to using regular pesticides again, because the super weeds and insects are now becoming glyphosate tolerant. And apparently Monsanto knew that this wasn't going to last all that long, but the business plan was get everybody signed to contracts for seeds, and once the natural varieties of food are eradicated, the whole world will have no choice but to come to us for our to buy seeds for next year's food, and then we can start jacking up the prices on the seeds.
I think it has more to do with control than profit.
I think it's a blend of both.
Both, yeah.
It's disgusting, whichever way you look at it.
Yes.
Michael, did I think Mike was saying that you did a you did something on the boy that brought a quark to school. Did you?
Yes.
Did you do an article? What's your take on that?
Well, I did a couple of articles and writings and some graphics about it. I mean, this is a big, stinky story. A 19-year-old boy, Ahmed Mohammed, going to this MacArthur High School in Irving, Texas. And apparently he's a whiz kid. He's into computers. He's into electronics. And he built himself a digital clock. And he brought it to school to show his teachers, and everybody he showed it to, he said, "This is a clock I built myself." And apparently one of the teachers, you know, head is filled with Muslims are always evil, Muslims are always terrorists, called the cops and had this kid arrested. And they were trying to put out this story that he built a hoax bomb, that he was trying to terrorize people, and it was utter nonsense to the point where the Irving police finally issued their own statement saying, "Look, there's a lot of nonsense out there. This kid did not say it was a bomb. He did not refuse to talk about it. He told everybody it was a digital clock, and that's all it is." And now we're seeing people like Sarah Palin and Bill Maher are out there trying to defend the school, saying, you know, this kid is a Muslim. Of course they have to be suspicious. And it's part of this ongoing campaign to demonize Muslims, to convince all Christians that it's their holy duty to hate all the Muslims, leading to a new unholy crusade. And this kid was such an obvious victim of a witch hunt. It is a threat to the entire narrative of all Muslims are bad and evil. But you need to understand that pretty much everything America knows about Islam right now was told to them by the same people that insisted Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons. And people are looking at the obvious witch hunt on this kid, and they're saying, maybe Muslims aren't as bad as we're being told. Maybe it's all been a hoax. Maybe Muslims didn't even do 9/11. And that whole Muslim bash is unraveling, and that's why they're out there trying to defend this, and they're saying ridiculous things like Ahmed Mohammed wanted to build a hoax bomb. He wasn't very good about it. He forgot to put in blocks of clay for C4 and sticks to represent the dynamite. And they're just making this stuff up, trying to keep control of this Muslim bash narrative that has dominated the political discourse and the corporate media for months. And I'm very, very concerned that
years
for years. But it's really intensified in recent months, and one of the reasons I'm concerned, as you know, the Pope just showed up. He's in the U.S. for the next 3 days, and all it would take would be somebody from CIA or Mossad to shoot the Pope and then frame some Muslim patsy for it, and then you'd have all the Christians in the world ready to kill all the Muslims in the world, and Israel would stand off in the back laughing themselves silly at how easy it was to trick us into a new crusade. And I'm very concerned that the Pope is not taking his security very seriously. And he's out there saying, you know, God brought me here and God will protect me. And my message to the Pope is, we have a saying here in the United States, God helps those who help themselves. Please wear your Kevlar undies. And even Susan Sarandon went out there publicly saying she's very worried somebody's going to try and shoot the Pope to try and open a door to more war.
Now, it's not like the Christians aren't the only ones who spread that fear. I see a lot of atheists who tell us to be concerned about Islam. It's dangerous. We can't have it here. Like Bill Maher.
I haven't seen very many atheists saying that. Mostly it's coming out of fundamentalist Christians. It's coming out of the Christian Zionist movement, which, as you know, is very much tied in with Israel.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
They need that racial division.
Well, they need an enemy to sell us on. What we're seeing here in the U.S., targeting the Muslims and scapegoating them is no different than the Nazi propaganda during World War II demonizing the Jews and the gays and the gypsies and the mentally retarded and so forth and
so on. Of course.
It's a repeat of the same thing all over again.
Well, what gets me is these the people that spew this crap, and you ask them, have you ever met anybody that practices Islam? And, well, no. typically 99% of the time.
If you ever actually met a Muslim, the first thing you're going to notice is they're much nicer and quieter and politer than Christians or Jews who are out there trying to convert you and get things from you. And I've been fortunate enough to work professionally with some Muslims in the film industry, and they're very low-key and they're very nice people. They always got great little ginger candies to hand out. And it's just the classic hate-mongering. We need somebody for the people to hate. Think 1984 and George Orwell and Emmanuel Goldstein, where the government makes the enemy that it uses to sell you wars and higher taxes, whether that enemy is just a generic all-Muslims or if it's more solidified like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. This is what government does. They'll create the enemy, then they'll sell you the salvation, the solution to it. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. There's a problem out there coming to get you, but if you will give me your money in obedience, I will save you from it.
Right. Oh, of course. It's that simple.
Human-caused global warming being a good example of that.
Oh, yeah. Climate change, that's all I hear about here. And it's,
well,
you know,
they're in a rush
right now.
Everyone's trying to make you believe this.
Don't believe
they're, it. They're in a real rush right now. I mean, they're still out there trying to claim 2015 is the hottest year on record. NOAA got caught rigging their data yet again, but they're in a rush because one more hard winter, this human-caused global warming hoax is not going to survive one more hard winter, and it looks like we're going to get a real bad one in the next few months. And Obama is in a rush to get a carbon tax passed here in the U.S. because he didn't make the money he thought he was going to make off of Obamacare. In fact, Obamacare is in serious trouble. If they can't sign up an additional 21 million people in the next year, the entire system is going to collapse.
How many more?
Sorry?
What's the figure you said? What's this?
21 million.
Ooh.
And they've only signed up about 9 million so far. And you know what's really sick? These skyrocketing Obamacare premiums, and they are taking another major jump up first of the year. People who are paying for these Obamacare-compliant health insurance policies, they're being forced to go onto food stamps because by the time they're done paying these very expensive health insurance policies with the sky-high deductibles, they've got nothing left over to feed their families with. We're literally seeing the U.S. turn into a battleground between the various money junkie interests, and they're fighting over our wallets, and our wallets are now empty.
They had to have known. I mean, that had to have been the whole plan.
No, I don't think so. I think what's going on here, we all would feel reassured if we thought there was a grand master plan of some kind. But the reality is we have a government and business structure where everybody is looking out for their own immediate agenda, and nobody is maintaining an overview of what's best for the nation as a whole. They're not looking at the long view of what's going to happen 10, 20 years down the road. They're thinking the next stockholders report or the next election, and after that, it's somebody else's problem. And as a result, you know, we're in utter chaos. And here's the real irony. There was an economist named Adam Smith wrote a book called Wealth of Nations, and he put forward this idea that if everybody is greedy for themselves, the society will move forward as a whole. And all the people on Wall Street and Washington, D.C., they love Adam Smith because it justifies personal greed without restraint. But Nobel Prize-winning mathematician John Nash proved with his doctoral dissertation that Adam Smith was flat-out wrong, that everybody looking out for their own interests can lead not just to chaos but to a complete locking up of the system. But nobody wants to listen to John Nash because they want to go on worshiping at the altar of Adam Smith and being very, very greedy. And yet all of the effects of that that John Nash predicted, we're seeing it all come down on us right now.
Yeah, what a world. I mean, I don't know. I think of solutions all the time, but you just can't stop greed. You really can't.
No,
and,
you
know,
can't.
Native Americans, they believe, like, everything has a purpose, and I still can't find the purpose of greed.
Well, there's a survival core to that you want to make sure you have enough food and life's necessities. Once it became abstracted into money, I think the mechanism basically became redundant and obsolete. But ultimately, for the entire world, the solution is going to be to outlaw private central banks, because these private central bankers have been playing the scam on the human race for over 300 years, and inevitably it leads to immense wealth for the private central bankers and poverty, hardship, starvation, and war for everybody else. Because when you have a privately owned central bank that issues all of the public currency as a loan at interest, by design it produces more debt than money with which to pay the debt until the debt overwhelms and crushes the system. It's what we're seeing in Cyprus. It's what we're seeing in Greece. It's what we're seeing here in the United States of America and in Europe. When the United States was started, one of the revolutionary ideas they had was a public currency managed as a public utility. And that's what made the young United States so prosperous and wealthy, because everybody had enough money for full employment and for economic development. It wasn't just all concentrated in these little tiny piles underneath the palaces of the ultra-rich. And the U.S. was very, very prosperous. And almost immediately, all the banking families of Europe tried to destroy that, first with the First Bank of the United States. Then when that one was shut down by the U.S. Congress, they started the War of 1812 to force the U.S. to accept the Second Bank of the United States. Andrew Jackson shut that one down, at which point they tried to kill him. And finally, we got the Third Bank of the United States, although they didn't call it that because they knew people would pick up on what was going on, so they called it the Federal Reserve. But the Federal Reserve is not actually a part of the federal government. It's no more federal than Federal Express. It's just a name to fool people into thinking that this is the way the economy is supposed to be. And it isn't. It's not the economy this nation started with.
And I think we've got to get people to realize that first, and then stop feeding it, obviously.
We definitely need to, but unfortunately, when capitalism failed in this country, which it did about two decades ago, we started descending into pure economic fascism, where the flow of wealth from the people to the ultra-rich was codified into law to remove any possibility that you could choose to do something else, and that is a classic symptom of economic fascism. We're well on down that road. At this point, it looks to me like we're just going to have to sit back and let the system finish tearing itself apart. I do not advocate violent revolution. I know more and more people are talking about that. I think it would be a big mistake, because that is something the U.S. government does know how to deal with. They're prepared to deal with that, would justify suspending what's left of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and establishing a true fascist dictatorship. We're at the point right now where I think our government would welcome, indeed even try to kick off, some kind of a small, controllable uprising in order to transition the nation into a more strong form of tyranny.
We're definitely going to have to pick up on this again. Chris keeps losing contact with the show. He's not been able to keep a steady line.
Yeah, well, you know, Skype was out yesterday. Amazon Web Services was down. Twitter over the weekend. My server got hacked over the weekend, a denial of service attack. There are some people out there who very much do not want the independent media getting the truth out.
Boy, you know, I remember one of our early shows, geez, it was over a year ago, 2 years ago probably, that we had some major issues with you, getting you on, and I think it was one of the nights Chris had a major DOS attack. But at any rate, yeah, we're going to have to get you back on real soon and get into some of this. But
it'd
I know that,
like
I said, we've lost him, and so we're gonna wrap up calling a night, I think. But we'll get you back real soon, and go ahead and plug anything you want to plug, and maybe Chris can
get
back
on. Well, my website, of course, is whatreallyhappened.com, and it's up there and running right now. Plus, I have my own talk radio show on the Genesis Communication Network, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central U.S. time.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Well, it's always a pleasure talking with you, Mike.
Well, thank you for having me again. I had fun, and I look forward to doing it again.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, so I can hang up now?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Thanks. I don't think you knew it. We didn't have any music.
Oh.
You know, no music going out. Usually we have, like a departure.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I'm...
That's all right, though. Uh-oh. I can't... Are you there, Mark? I can't hear nothing.
Hey, young world, wanna hear a story? Close your eyes and you can pretend you're me. I'm cut from the cloth for the Kennedys. The Kennedys, the Kennedys. The Kennedys, the Kennedys. The Kennedys, the Kennedys. I'm cut from the cloth for the Kennedys. The Kennedys, the Kennedys. Who's the god of Cape Cod? Who's higher than Hyannis? Who could get away with murder for money and simply vanish? Suit jacket in the casket looking so fantastic. Sweater vest, posing with a tennis racket.
Yes.
So plastic,
yes.
So tragic.
Yes.
Camelot was formed in black magic. There's lots of sinners eating lobster dinners with some mobster figures selling lots of liquor. Hair slicked back, three-piece suits, shoes polished. Martha's Vineyard mansion in an Ivy League college. Secret societies and a sick fascination with accidental deaths and planned assassinations. The birth of a nation, a race in the line that's drawn to define God and Satan. It's Jack, it's Bobby, it's even Teddy. Reverse on my enemies, the curse of the Kennedys. Hey, young world, wanna hear a story? Close your eyes and you can pretend you're me. I'm cut from the cloth for the Kennedys. The Kennedys, the Kennedys. The Kennedys, the Kennedys. The Kennedys, the Kennedys. I'm cut from the cloth for the Kennedys. The Kennedys, the Kennedys. Demeanor of Joe Sr., overachiever. Won't stop till I own the Mona Lisa with a home in Ibiza. Hear the news flash over the speaker, they killing Kennedys. Keep calm, load up the heater. Bobby slumped on the podium, POTUS is down. We got political pull, probably the dopest around. We got public for damage control, Kennedy style. Kill a girl by accident, never see trial. Heavenly Father, please wash all of my sins. While I wash away my pain with this tonic and gin. While I vomit in the sink, I think of ominous things. Like atomic bombs, never let the communists win. Live from the Bay of Pigs, it's obvious lies. When anybody denies all of the mafia ties, you surprised? It's Jack, it's Bobby, it's even Teddy. Reverse on my enemies, the curse of the Kennedys. Hey, young world, wanna hear a story? Close your eyes and you can pretend you're me. I'm cut from the cloth for the Kennedys. The Kennedys, the Kennedys. The Kennedys,